The Afternoon Drive on Impact 103. Come alive.
Right now, though, we are talking about matters that I think are absolutely important. The National Health Insurance is something that's just been signed into law this afternoon. Legislation has officially paved the way for this universal healthcare. However, as we get into conversations about the NHI, something that's become apparent, and it's not the first time that we speak about the NHI here on Impact 103. If anything, we've been speaking about it from months before, when it would be before it even gets to Parliament, when we were sitting in Parliament for public comment and to open it up space for us to say, hey, we don't think this is going to work. But now we're finding ourselves on this side of that entire story. The President, Cyril Ramaphosa, has earlier on signed the National Health Insurance Bill into law. But for a number of people, it's still a question of what does this mean exactly? Let's even start it off in the simplest way. What is NHI? What is this going to mean for me from this afternoon? What is it going to mean for me and my family? And I think these are questions that quite a number of people are having. And I think it's fair questions that we need to create space and time for us to be able to get those questions answered, to get those questions cleared out so that we know what we can expect as we step into this future. So starting off, maybe I think a good place to start this entire conversation is with a clip of this afternoon as the President went on to sign the bill into law.
I hereby, in terms of Section 84.2, read with Section 79.1, of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996, assent to the National Health Insurance Act of 2023, Act Number 20, and sign the English text thereof, given under my hand at Pretoria on this day, 2024. So I sign where it's written, President.
Now, Errol Knight, who joins us on the line this afternoon from a Family Policy Institute. He's a friend of Impact 103, always joining into these type of conversations. Errol, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us. I mean, we heard this take place this afternoon, and I think a lot of people are finding themselves in a place of, I don't know what this means. Let's start right at the start. What is the NHI for someone who's wondering what it is?
Kosi, thanks for having me. I think to explain it in layman's terms, the National Health Insurance, which is the act now just signed by the President into law, is healthcare for everybody. So the argument is that there's certain people that can afford healthcare through medical schemes and all those kind of things, and there's others that rely on public healthcare. And I think most citizens know that our public healthcare system is really in ruin. A lot of the hospitals and clinics are below standard. And so this scheme is to give access to healthcare to every single citizen. So that 62 million people in the country would have access to healthcare. And the system is a system that will be managed by government. And people will have to register for in the National Health Insurance system, register so they can go to a hospital, a clinic, or a doctor and get healthcare. The government will pay the healthcare professionals, the doctors, the clinics, or the hospitals. The government will pay them from this fund, and so which means everybody. So it's universal healthcare. It's a socialism. Socialist healthcare system. Other countries have this as well, and it hasn't worked very well in those countries.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, it's always a question of, has this been tried out before? Is it the first time that it's happening globally? For some people, they actually are aware that it's been tried in various countries, Japan, I think in Canada as well, and a couple of other countries that are notable. Errol, I think there's a number of questions, and I want to play you this clip, because I'm not as my brain screwed on like yours is in understanding laws and bills and acts so well. And I think this is why we're calling you into this conversation so right now. I asked AI to explain what the NHI bill is to us, but as if I'm a five-year-old, so that it's as simple as possible for all of us to understand.
Yes.
I want to play you the clip, and I'd love for us to continue the conversation from there.
Sure. Imagine everyone in the country has a big cookie jar. Sometimes people get sick and need to take cookies, which are like medicine and doctor visits, from the jar to feel better. But cookies can be expensive, and not everyone has enough cookies in their jar. NHI, or National Health Insurance, is like having a super big cookie jar that everyone shares. Whenever someone needs cookies, they can take some from the big jar. Everyone puts a little bit of their own cookies into the big jar, so there's always enough for everyone when they need it. This way, nobody runs out of cookies when they are sick.
Errol, and I mean, now the adult brain in me is like, okay, thanks, you've made it simpler, but there's a lot of questions that I have. Who's paying for this? I think that's the first starting point. What can we expect? Because now there's conversations about tax that could be jumping in to be able to fund this, to, in essence, really get the cookies into this one jar. And some people will be bringing seven cookies where someone will be bringing none to try compensate towards the jar being full. So let's maybe start there in terms of the expected payments and cost towards the NHI.
Well, the National Health Insurance Act is going to be managed and funded by government. And the only way they can raise the money to fund this massive and complex system is to raise taxes. It's estimated that government's going to need about 250 billion rand to fund this healthcare system. They don't have the money. South Africa is already over 4 trillion rand in debt. Eskom alone is in debt of over 400 million and they're struggling to pay that back. Our government is paying billions, just the interest of the loans they're paying that they owe. They're paying billions every week in just interest. So you got to look at this and see that just quite honestly, government does not have the money to fund this. And so there are estimates that to get this up and running, it will take about a decade, 10 years, or maybe even 20 years. Because it's such a complex system and government has to manage this universal healthcare for every single citizen, most believe that this ANC government is not capable of managing this thing, because if you look at their track record with Eskom, with Transnet, with South African Airways, with the South African Broadcasting Corporation, with Denel, with the post office, it's all collapsed. If you look at municipalities around the country that is run and managed by the ANCs, they're all lying in ruin. Most of them are bankrupt, right? So how then is this government going to manage a system that is infinitely more complex than all of those public enterprises I just mentioned? And the answer to that, it's impossible for them to do it. The second thing that's going to happen, they don't have the money, so they're going to have to raise taxes, and it's going to be unprecedented. Because in order to raise 250 billion to fund this thing, they're going to have to put a personal tax, pay as you earn tax, up quite considerably. They're going to have to raise company tax. They might even have to raise VAT, value-added tax, to try to make up these numbers. But already, they owe so much money. And you know, because we have so many failing public enterprises like Transnet and Eskom and everything, they're pouring billions into these entities, and they don't have the money. Government's also locked in with the welfare system. I just read an article recently that now just about half the population of South Africa, that's 30 million people, are completely dependent on social welfare. That means they cannot do without it. So we have a growing welfare bill of people that need welfare, and that thing is growing almost on a monthly basis, which amounts to almost 100 billion a year. You have all of those issues, and now government signs this. So what President Cyril Ramaphosa has done today is a shameless election ploy. What are they doing? They signed this bill into law, knowing full well they cannot implement it. They have no money to do it, and they don't have the personnel to do it. They don't have the capacity of the management skills to implement this complex health insurance scheme. But they're telling people, don't worry, after May 29, just vote for the ANC. And when you go to any hospital and doctor, there's going to be health care for you. There's not going to be.
Now, Errol,
because it's going to take so long to implement this thing.
Now, Errol, I mean, I look at something as complicated as the NHI. And even from what you've said this afternoon, a part of me is kind of going, there must be some sort of good of sort that it could have in an ideal world. And I think a lot of people would kind of on surface level, that's what it looks like. Would I be right in assuming so? What would be the, in an ideal world, the benefit of an NHI in a state where there isn't issues of power, water, poor health, public health systems? What would the ideal benefit of NHI be?
Well, look, firstly, if you look at socialized medicine or healthcare systems around the world, it doesn't work. It never worked anywhere they implemented it, even in the UK. So people that need to have an operation, any kind of operation, have to wait up to 7-8 months to a year to have that, because there's such a long queue of people in line for that. And it's limited when you've got a national healthcare system. Mm. The system we have now is better, because you have a private healthcare system, and people that can afford private healthcare then use the private healthcare. Then you have a public healthcare system. The problem with why people are not getting access to healthcare is because it's badly managed. It's running to the ground. I mean, you read the stories about Kembisa Hospital, just one hospital. That hospital was used by government officials for tender fraud. 1 billion rand was stolen through Kembisa Hospital. A woman that found out about this and told her superiors about it was then two weeks after she let her superiors know, she was assassinated in Johannesburg because they're trying to cover these things up. So there's so much involved in the health sector in this country. I think most of the corruption in South Africa has been in the health sector. Sure. So, Kosi, can you remember the time of COVID-19? When President Cyril Ramaphosa allocated 500 billion to fight COVID and for all the necessary things that the health professionals needed and first responders. And then immediately after that was allocated, there was massive corruption. Billions and billions were stolen by government officials while people were dying. And it reached right into President Cyril Ramaphosa's office.
Yeah.
So many people were implicated in that. So the best thing we can do in South Africa is keep the healthcare system, the private healthcare system, and improve the public healthcare system. Because if you improve that, we've got great hospitals like Baragwana and Groote Schuur in Cape Town, huge, massive hospitals, Tigerberg in Cape Town. You need to improve the hospitals. You have to put proper management and run the thing competently. And you will be able to provide healthcare to everybody. But you don't break everything down. You don't destroy the private healthcare system to try to give everybody healthcare, because this, what is going to happen is the entire healthcare system is going to collapse in South Africa. Everybody's warning of that.
Because
what is going to happen is all the private doctors and health professionals are going to leave the country, because they're not going to be told by the government, look, we will pay you what we decide to pay you in this healthcare system.
There's going to be an inundation, sorry to jump in, there's going to be an inundation in terms of services that's required in the public, well, in the hospitals generally, all across the board. Errol, I want to quickly try to squeeze in some questions that have come through on the WhatsApp line in efforts to really answer the questions and concerns of people. There's a voice note that's come through asking a very important question, especially when it comes to medical aids.
Good day, Impact listeners. Good day, Kosi. Ellen Rai from Pretoria. I just want to find out if it's possible, if you can ask on behalf of us who have medical aids, are we going to have to cancel our medical aid? And won't it be necessary for medical aid anymore? Because everyone will be having equal access to all the medical facilities. So I guess there won't be a need for medical aid anymore.
That's a very important question, Errol. And I think it's from a perspective where maybe merging the question together with what happens from tomorrow. This is signed into law today. Does that mean from tomorrow this is put into action? It can be assumed that there's processes that need to follow, but for some ordinary South Africans, they may be thinking this is active from now.
Yeah, the quick answer is no, nothing happens tomorrow, because as I said, it's going to take almost a decade to implement all of this. So you need money, because it's going to take 250 billion and the government doesn't have even a million to spend on this. They don't have the money. So they're going to have to start taxing people to raise the money, raise the taxes to raise the money to fund the system. So it's going to take a long while because it's so huge and so complex to implement this slowly. So, but when it comes to medical aids, they're not going to ban medical aids. What they're going to do is the services that the national health insurance system offers citizens, people that need healthcare, if they're offering a certain service, then the healthcare medical aids won't be compensated. In other words, if people can go to a public healthcare facility to get a certain medical procedure and the NHI is offering that, then medical schemes cannot be compensated for that. Mm. So in other words, the plan of the scheme is to make it more and more expensive for people to have a medical aid. It's not going to work and pay them, so they're going to turn to the NHI, and so medical aids will close down slowly. So in other words, it's going to phase medical aids out over the years, but it won't be an immediate kind of closing down or banning medical aids. It will still function for a number of years. My personal opinion is that this thing is not going to work. This government is not going to be able to make it work. They're not going to be able to raise the funding. So it's not going to be implemented. I think the big rush, the reason the ANC government rushed this through Parliament and signed it today, 2 weeks before the elections, it's for that very reason. To tell people, healthcare for everybody, we signed this law, everybody's going to get universal healthcare, but not telling people it's going to take us a long time and billions of rands to implement this. So it's not going to be happening immediately, but they're going to give the people the idea, vote for us and you're going to get free healthcare. That's basically the rationale behind this.
Yeah, look, there's still quite a little bit of work that, quite a lot of work that still needs to be done between now and before anything happens. Obviously now, and you'd correct me if I'm wrong, Errol, is that the signing today is kind of the only thing we're going to see for now for a long time before there's any other thing that changes. Would I be correct in saying this?
Yeah, I mean, just use your logic. If the government needs 250 billion rand, that's a quarter of a trillion rand, to implement this thing properly to make it work. Because, you know, when you sign a law, everything don't magically just happen. You've got to implement certain things. You've got to put structures in place and all kinds of things. And, of course, you need money to do that.
Yeah.
And the bill is 250 billion. And the government doesn't have 250 billion. They're very, very far away from that because there's so much pressure on this government. Our economy is teetering on the brink here. There's so much debt and the state-owned enterprises are sucking billions out of the economy every month.
Yeah.
You look at, and again, welfare is increasing all the time. The welfare budgets are ballooning. So, where is government going to get this money? I think business, the business organizations, the professional healthcare organizations are all saying they're taking government to court. They're going to be suing. They're going to the constitutional court with this bill. So there's still going to be litigation and court cases that got to take place before anything happens. Mm. Many are saying this bill is unconstitutional. Why? Because it doesn't give citizens a choice. It's going to take their choice away from what healthcare they want to choose. And the Constitution gives citizens the right to make their own choices for their own healthcare.
Yeah.
So this is going to take that away. Because what this NHI does as well, you can't choose your doctor or clinic or hospital. It will be provided by the system. So it will be close to where you live. So if you have a doctor, if you stay in one area and your doctor is maybe in another suburb, that's not going to be your doctor anymore under the system. You take the doctor that's assigned to you, whether you like it or not, because it's just you stand in the queue and you get what you want. That's what this is, kind of communist kind of way of doing healthcare.
I'm unfortunately having to jump in because we've ran way past time. Errol, I appreciate you jumping in this afternoon to be able to unpack this for us. I think for a lot of us, we're realizing again in terms of where we're finding ourselves, what this means for us, what the future looks like. Also to be really toned down into realizing that's not the future that's happening tomorrow. Although there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in ensuring that this doesn't actually take flight. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done for that. But I think it's really help for us to be able to understand where we stand with that. So Errol, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and I think I'm certain we will still be in touch with each other as everything unfolds. I think soon we're going to be talking about the hate speech bill. On Monday, we'll unpack that a little bit more. So thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you, Khosi.
It's Errol Naidu, founder and CEO of the Family Policy Institute, who's joining us this afternoon just to unpack and help us understand all the more. What is the NHI? What does it mean? And what does the future look like? Still a lot of time, still a lot of work, still a lot of money that's needed before this actually rolls out and plays out the way that it seems it's intended to be. And if anything, it's an invitation for us to realize that still a lot of prayer, still a lot of really believing God to intervene before anything takes flight into South Africa.